Well, good evening. We would like to welcome you to the Berean Christian School commencement ceremonies. And if you would please stand as we have the singing of our national anthem.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the
Thank you. Let's open in a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this evening that you've given to us. Lord, I thank you for each and every one of these graduates. I thank you for their hard work, the diligence that they've shown. And Lord, I thank you for the lives that you have planned for them. Lord, I pray at this time that you might bless our ceremony, that you might be here in our midst. Lord, I pray for our graduates as well. And Lord, I just pray that you might bless their lives. And Lord, I pray that you might keep them close to you. And we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory for all that you're going to do. For it's in your name that I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated at this time. And we do want to welcome everyone here. We appreciate you taking your time out to come and to honor our graduates today. They have spent a lot of time, a lot of hard work and effort in getting to this point in their lives. And it is a commencement ceremony. It is a beginning for them, a time when they can start their lives as adults. It's a starting point for further education and a starting point for them for no longer being children and students, but a time for them to begin their lives and working out in the real world. But at this time, we would like for them to come and to give a farewell address so that they can have a chance to thank those who have been involved and maybe pass on some tidbits of wisdom to those who are coming behind them as well. So if we could have Ann Schaefer, please.
I'd like to thank everybody for coming today to help us celebrate our graduation. I'd like to thank Mr. Root for his encouragement and his faith in me, because I got further than I thought I could. And Mrs. Anson for informing us of everything that's been going on and for ordering my paces. My parents for putting up with me for all these years schooling me. And especially my mom, because all the hard work she does and planning and the teaching. And she's a wonderful teacher and friend, and she helped me review over and over again. And she helped me get the credits done that I had to get done in order to graduate. And my favorite verse is Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I have looked forward to graduating for a very long time, and it doesn't compare to the life that I have with my Savior. Thank you.
Any doctor.
First off, I would like to thank my mom for everything she has done for me and being there to help me, even if it meant her getting extremely mad at me just to get me to do it. I would like to thank my family for all their support and everything and their love. It's been great. I'd like to thank my friends, especially my BFF Forever. And I'd like to thank Mr. Root for allowing me to be here to graduate. Event that extremely changed my life was my two dogs. They have been my best friends, and they have changed my life also forever. In the fall, I am attending SWCC, where I will transfer to Carbondale for a degree in zoology. A Bible verse that stood out to me was 1 Timothy 4:4. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Thank you.
Daniel Insweiler.
Good evening, family, friends, and special guests. What a year it has been for me, especially the hardest year ever. But I couldn't have done it had it not been for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because without him, I wouldn't be here where I am today. My parents also deserve some credit for putting up with me for these 18 years and pushing me to get the work done. For all the teachers that have been there also deserve some credit, for they are kind and godly people. As I prepare now to go to college, it'll be quite the adventure. I plan to attend Southwestern Illinois College, also known as SWCC, for a year or two, to work on a degree in fine arts. After that, I'm thinking about attending Calvary Bible College for a year, Lord willing. I'm still a little uncertain on what to do with the rest of my life, but I do know that if I pray and look to God for guidance, he will give me what I need. Thank you.
Brent Hager.
Good evening. My name is Brent Hager, and first of all, I'd like to thank Lord Jesus for getting me through all these years, and my parents, Mark and Cindy, my brother Mark, have always been there. They've helped me through the times where I didn't understand things, and I just needed someone there to help me. Through these years, it's been kind of hard. Usually at the end, where the quarter is kind of a crunch time, so we're all working together to get it all in. It's kind of the funny memories we had with Berean. But I've always looked at my favorite Bible verse, Philippians 4:6, for I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, and my future plans are to go to UMKC, possibly, Lord willing, to study pre-med, and Lord willing, go on some medical trips while there, and if it's in his will, also to move on to medical school. And I just like to honor the Lord in every day and all the times that I have. And just today is also my 18th birthday, so it's kind of a double whammy. And that's also good with the graduation gifts too. They kind of melt together. But just like to thank everybody coming out to graduation day. Thank you.
Antoine Washington.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for coming to our graduation. I would first like to thank God for allowing me to finish high school.
I would also like to thank my parents for always being there for me and helping me with everything I needed. I'd like to thank Ms. LeBrier for helping me write when my wrist was injured for a month, and Mr. Root for signing my self-test and for helping me with my other schoolwork. I want to thank all the substitute teachers for helping me with verses, answering flags, and other things. I want to thank all my friends at school for motivating, for making school fun, especially Kelsey and Rachel. And thank Kendra and Katie for also helping me write during CLT when my wrist was messed up. And all the people on the basketball team for their support and encouragement, like Doug, Sam, Josh, Ryan, Jonathan, Nick, Daniel, and Alex. I have to give special thanks to our basketball coach, Doc Thomas, for giving me words of encouragement and also always being there to talk to about any problems I had. As for my future plans, I've been accepted to Edwardsville and will be going there in the fall, and I'll be majoring in business management. I'll conclude this speech with one of my favorite scripture verses. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. John 16:33. Thank you.
Josh White.
I'd like to thank you all for coming. And I'd also like to thank God for allowing me to reach this age of my life and being with me every step of the way. I'd like to thank my teachers, Mr. Root, for allowing me to come to the Brian and giving me the push that I needed, even when I was a big pain. For Mrs. LeBrier for always giving me words of encouragement, even when she didn't feel at her best. For Mrs. Miner for making sure I did my best and for trying to make sure that I did right through all my high school years. For my parents, God blessed me with two incredible people for a father and mother. Thank you for sending me to a Christian school. My father, my spiritual leader, thank you for giving me advice when I needed it most and for always backing me up even when the times were rough. My mother, the woman that thankfully homeschooled me until the fourth grade and the person that helped me throughout my school, thank you for being who you are, Mom. My family, all of them. Chris, you've been my hero from day one. I've looked to you for almost anything, and you never let me down. You've been with me from the time I was born, and you've been the best brother possible. For my sister, Mandy, she's my sister, my teacher, my inspiration, and my friend. You have helped me through all aspects of life, and I couldn't be more proud to call you my sister. My brothers, Caleb and Zach, for always giving me a place to go and people to talk to, and for always keeping me laughing. For my sister, Allie, for being my little ray of sunshine when she felt like it. You have made my life easier and have given me some great words of encouragement, and going to high school with you has been fun. Toby and Kelly, thank you for being the best brother and sister-in-law that is possible. And thank you for being part of my life and part of my family. Thank you for all my friends that have made high school fun and for helping me get through it. For my future plans, I plan on attending college this fall. I have been accepted into Murray State University, where I plan on majoring in finance and financial management. While I look forward to the future, I can't help but remember all those that have helped me along the way. Thank you for coming and supporting us. Congratulations, graduates. Let's go get some cake.
Good evening. Good evening. Thank you. As the chairman of the school board, I'd like on behalf of the school board to say congratulations to graduates. We know of the struggles you've had. We know of the accomplishments that you've had during these past years. And we just want to send our heartiest congratulations to you and a job well done. And may God bless you as you strive, as you leave here, because now the work's going to start. You thought you had fun at Berean. Now the work's going to start, okay? Fun's over. time to go on. But with God on your side, who said he would never leave you or forsake you, I'm sure you all do well. And as the chairman of the school board, it's one of the functions that I have is to find a guest speaker for commencement ceremony. And it's been fun. It really has. And this year, I'm really excited. And I'll tell you, the Internet, believe it or not, it can be a good thing. Really, it can be if you use it properly, okay? It can be a good thing. And I know the Lord directed me in this because I just happened to go on the CAMOX website one day. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I hear these people on the radio all the time. I just want to put a face with a voice, you know? And so I went through the biography section, saw all these people there, and going through all the different people, and I came up to Carol Daniel and looked at her biography. And you know what? And what really struck me is, you know, we live in an age where we are identified by the job we have, you know? And that's, it takes our identity away from who we really are, children of God. And when I first read Carol's website, the very first thing on there, it said, first and foremost, she is a wife and a mother. I thought, wow, that's pretty neat. And I got to reading a little bit further and explained some of her, the things that she does in the community, which are a number of things, and says that she attended church up in O'Fallon. And I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. And then explained a little bit further that she and her husband work with youth ministries, correct? Youth couples. And I thought, I've got my speaker. That's me. All I have to do now is get her to accept, and everything would be great. Well, it's been fun emailing back and forth for the past few months, I guess. Actually, going back to last year. And I finally got to meet her tonight for the first time. I feel like I already know her. So would you please give a warm welcome to our speaker tonight from KMOX Radio, Mrs. Carol Daniel.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Bless you. First, let me say congratulations, and it isn't every high school graduation where every graduate gets to stand up and say whatever is on their minds, although you didn't get to say whatever is on your mind, because I could see from where I was sitting that some of you had written, actually all of you wrote it down, but I could tell that you were asked to say certain things. And it's not every graduation where everybody is asked to say anything. So consider yourselves doubly blessed because you actually got to speak at your graduation. It didn't take you being the salutatorian or the valedictorian to speak. You got to speak because your parents made the choice to send you to a school where you have such individual attention. So consider yourselves doubly blessed. This is quite an honor to speak to you today and to visit your church. I have driven by thousands of times, and I always look over to see what the marquee says, and I always look over to, and every now and then I have the thought that I'm going to go to Gateway. I'm going to take a class. So I have driven by your church, and you've been placed on my heart many, many times. And to those of you who are the parents of the graduates, I'm going to call names, and I want you to stand up. Would Ann's parents please stand, and her family? God bless you. Congratulations. Amy's parents and her family, would you please stand up? God bless you. Daniel's parents and his family and friends. How did you have such a tall child come out of? There we go. He says he's the good-looking one. Now, the church is not the place to start anything, Larry. Brent's parents and wonderful. God bless you. Congratulations. Antoine, am I right? Could you please stand up? And your family and friends, we're all going to. There they are right back there. Bless you. Joshua. Now, who are all those people that now see? And I saw her tearing up. He went on and on and on. I said, who else is here? Now, I knew you were one because I saw you wiping your eyes. God bless you and congratulations. I just wanted to do that because it's important to identify the people that have brought you this far. They're the ones who did this. They're the ones who prayed for you. You prayed for yourself, but they're the ones who prayed for you. They're the ones who have great expectations of you. And it's certainly worth noting that just a couple of days ago in Granite City, somebody who was supposed to graduate tonight was playing around, just playing around with his friends. They had just come from a program at school. I believe he had a 4.7 GPA, promising, popular, loved young man who was just playing around. I know you know the story, and he's no longer with us, and we pray that he's with his Savior now, but he's not here to graduate. And it's important to stop and think, because even now at 46, I don't look it, do I? I don't look 46. God bless you. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I tell you now, I'm coming back. That we think we're invincible. We think, oh, that won't happen to me. It'll be okay. But as the officer told us, a moment of carelessness can have dire consequences. It's worth thinking about that tonight and considering all the ways in which you're blessed, beginning with the simplest of things this morning that God woke you up. It's worth thinking about that on this evening. So I do want to say congratulations, even with that somber recognition. I do want to say congratulations, because the God we serve is a God of order. And what you have done, what you've accomplished, is pleasing in his sight, because you've done so with reverence to him. And you've done so with respect to your parents and your teachers and your church and your faith. Now, Larry is not telling the whole story. Larry has emailed me, I don't know, 10, 15 times, maybe. I don't know. Several times. No, I'm joking. Several times. But I noticed just today, I think, because I scrolled down for whatever reason, and his email's always in with his signature and the scripture, Proverbs 3 and 5. And what Larry doesn't know is that that is the scripture that I live by. If I was graduating tonight, that's the scripture I would say to those of you here tonight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, all your heart, not a part of your heart, and then you trust in the mall with the rest of your heart, not a piece of your heart, and then you trust in your good looks with the rest of your heart, not a piece of your heart, and then you trust the rest of your heart to your car, not a piece of your heart, and then you trust the rest of your heart to your friends, to your buddies, to the ball team, not a piece of your heart, and then you trust the rest of your heart to your girlfriend or your boyfriend, not a piece of your heart, and then you trust the rest of your heart to your future income or even your classes, but trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Now, the reason that I, and the rest of it, six is in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And the reason that that became my scripture was because it dawned on me, and I was probably 29 or 30 years of age, when it dawned on me that I was trusting on my own, in my own mind, in my own understanding. And when I graduated from high school, I had a 3.6. That's pretty decent. I made the dean's list once. I kept that letter from that one semester. That letter turned yellow. I put it in a frame. I put it on my wall. I passed by. It was in my dining room. I loved the fact that I finally, after doing so poorly, I made the dean's list one time. So I thought that I knew I had the understanding. I thought, well, I know how to buy a car. I know how to get into college. I know how to get a boyfriend. I know how to cook and clean. I thought I knew all these things, that it was my understanding that got me to from place to place and goal to goal. I thought it was my understanding. I thought I was the one, that my brain and my head was the thing that got me from place to place in my life. I thought it was my brain. I thought it was my understanding. And at 29, seriously, when I turned 30, I said this prayer, and I'll never forget it. I said, Lord, it's obvious that I don't know what I'm doing. It's obvious. And I just pray, Lord, because I wanted to be married. And I'm 30, and I'm not married. No prospects. There was no, what do you call it when they're doing the team, when they're choosing players? Draft. There was nothing. Nothing like that. There was nobody lining up. Nothing was happening. I would come home in those days. I mean, still, your answer machine blinks when you have a message. I would come in the house, and the first thing I would do is look over at the answer machine. And there'd be nothing. It would not be blinking. No one had called me. So there was nothing. So I prayed. I wasn't a praying woman then like I am now. So it was rare for me to pray. And so, you know, sometimes you drop to your knees when you're desperate. Let's just call it what it is. Things happen and you fall to your knees. I mean, you fall because there's nothing else to keep you up. You fall. You're desperate. You're hurting. And I said, Lord, I'm giving it to you because it's obvious I'm leaning on my own understanding. It's obvious I don't know what I'm doing. So, Lord, I'm giving it to you. I'm just going to give it to you, Lord. And I'm going to rely on you. And if it's your will, I'll have a husband. I'm relying on you to show him to me. I hope I know when I see him that it's you, Lord. That was my prayer. 6 months later. 6 months later. Now, we serve a God who answers prayers in the little things and the big things. 6 months later, I met my husband. Now, I like to tell that story because I thought that I was 30 at that time, 31. I had turned 31 then, about to turn 31, I should say. And I thought he was 21. And the people who introduced us, I called her later and I said, well, he's too young for me. And she said, no, he's not. He's the same age as you are. And I said, well, how old do you think I am? She said, aren't you 30? I said, yes. She said, well, he's 30. And I thought, whoa, okay. Good looking, young. That's some DNA. That's the kind of DNA. That's the kind of DNA you want, Pastor, right? You want some DNA that's healthy, right? I may be saying too much to 18-year-olds. I apologize. This is not for you. This is for them. I'll come back to you in a second. So I took a second look. And, you know, we've been married for 13 years now. July will be our July 2nd is our 14th wedding anniversary. And we have two sons who are 8 and 12. And they are, they love each other and they can't stand the sight of each other. It's an amazing, so to hear you, you know, thank all you say that now, but when you were 6 or 7, they were like, could you please, Mom, tell him to sit, to stop following us? That's where they are now. But we love them, and I had a conversation with my 12-year-old about 2 weeks ago. He has 5 A's and 3 B's, and I'm outraged by the B's. I tell you, I'm just outraged. I'm absolutely beside myself because I know that he can do better. And so I said to him, you know, and I want you to know his eyes glazed over after a moment, but I kept talking because I thought I'm enjoying what I'm saying. So it's good to me. I'm just going to keep on saying all this. And I said to him, his name is PJ Patrick Jr. I said, PJ, we prayed for you. We asked God to give us a child. And it's you. You're the one that God gave us. We asked the Lord of the universe for you. Of course, my voice is just like that. I'm talking to him. You! I asked God for you! And here you are! And you're acting like, whatever. It's not going to be that way. You can do better. I asked God for you, and here you are, and you're taking it for granted. And then I went on, and I'm talking to him about death and kids who don't have parents and people who are starving. And, you know, I said, okay, I've arrived. I'm officially a parent when you start saying people are starving. When you start saying those kinds of things, you've reached that stage of parenting. That's where I was. But we do love them, and they are a gift from God, and we tell them that all the time. And they are Bible study children. They are Sunday school children. They want to be 8 o'clock service children because somehow they think they'll get home faster if they go to 8 o'clock service. But I keep telling them that means going to bed early, which they're just like you guys. They don't want to go to bed early. So we are 11 o'clock service children, but Sunday school nonetheless. My husband is a small business owner, and he is a landscaper. And the quick background of that is that there's no way that he could have his own business if our marriage was not before the Lord. There is no way that he could be a small business owner and deal with all those stresses and be a husband trying to provide for his family if I weren't the wife I'm supposed to be in the Lord, and if he weren't the husband he's supposed to be in the Lord. So we just thank God for being able to humble ourselves and to each other and to the Lord. And I'm so proud of him. Women, if you're here today and you have a husband and you have not told him in the last 24 hours, baby, I'm so proud. Maybe you don't say baby. Maybe you say honey. Maybe you say sweetheart. Maybe you say hot buns. I don't know what it is. I don't know. And they don't want to know. Whatever it is, get yourself a pet name if you don't have one. Crooked toes, I don't know what it is. It could be, I don't know. You may love that about him or her. I don't know. But whatever it is, you know, sweetheart, I am so proud of you. I'm so proud. She's saying it now, aren't you? You're whispering it. Go on whispering in his ear, girl. We're not going to watch y'all. Don't look. Don't look. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of how you care for us. I'm so proud of how you love me. I'm just so proud of what you've done in your life. And I'm just so grateful to God for you. Now, if you have not told him that in a while, I'm going to guarantee when you say that to him, suddenly tomorrow morning, you're going to think, sweetie, did you grow 2 inches? Did you? Are you taller? Because he is going to puff up as he should. He's going to want to fly just for you. Now, husbands, if you have not shown her how much you love her, I want you to say to her tonight, you are so beautiful to me. Every time you come in the room, I think, wow, she's mine. She belongs to me. Are you saying it? I know you. He said, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You could even say that. Oh, yeah. And I guarantee whatever that meal is Sunday, there's an extra something in there. She's going to do something special because she knows how much you love her. I can't help it. Whenever I'm blessed to be in front of people, I have to talk about marriage because we have to reclaim marriage. God gave us marriage. Marriage is from the Lord, and we have let others tell us how to be married, to checking accounts, and you do what you want to do, and who does he think he is trying to tell you how to spend your money, and girl, you work. You can spend that money. You work. We're letting the world tell us how to be married when it is clear in the Word how we're supposed to be married to one another. So I am about the business of reclaiming marriage because it's from my Lord, the God of the universe. So who am I to give it up so easily? Who am I to say it doesn't really matter? We can do this and you can go do whatever you want to do. And we look at Hollywood and see how they handle marriage. Oh, no. No, I'm reclaiming marriage and you're going to reclaim it with me in your workplace. There's an opportunity for you to talk to couples who are married or about to get married. They're talking about their husbands publicly, negatively. We're going to stop that. That is not proper. Our husbands deserve our respect publicly and privately. You're going to have a chance to counsel someone. They're going to come. They're coming to you now. We may turn our backs, but they're coming to us. They're coming to us. They see our peace. They see our joy, and they want to know, okay, maybe she can help me in this thing. You've got a chance to reclaim marriage in your neighborhood and in your workplace, and we have got to not be shy about loving the Lord who gave us our spouses. We must be bold. We're supposed to be bold in the Word, so let's do that. I'm here to give a graduation speech and not a couples class. I do apologize, Pastor. I do apologize. But, Larry, I'm so thankful that you put that in the email. I went to a Cardinals game once, and someone said to me, a bunch of media people there, and someone said, who worked at a Christian radio station, she said, oh, I didn't realize that there were people of faith that worked at KMOX. And I said to her that there are people of faith everywhere. And that I, if she listened to me at all on the air, she would know that I was a woman of faith. And I got the feeling that she had allowed just the industry's reputation as news talk to convince her that there weren't any Christians there. But I told her then what I'm telling you now. It just takes one. When I was 2 months from graduating from high school, 2 months, and some so-called friends, you know, they really turned their back on me. There's a little backstabbing going on. It's been a long time. I don't care any longer, but it happened. It took just one to give me a surprise birthday party for my 18th birthday. When I was low on money in college, and I was always low on money in college, surrounded by others who seemed to have it all, there was a young man who had his parents gave him a credit card, and he would just use it and use it and use it. At the end of the year, the bill went to his parents. He had no idea. He had no idea. There was just one. It just took one to encourage me. When I tried out for the cheerleading squad at the University of Missouri Columbia, it's 1980, I was the one who convinced a girl from St. Louis that even though there had never been any black cheerleaders, that didn't mean that we wouldn't be the first. And we became the first. When my grades made it evident to me that I needed to transfer to another school, it took one admissions assistant, one, to make me feel so welcome. It just took one. When I graduated from college, it took one girlfriend to offer me a place to live in Kansas City until I got on my feet. It just took one. Years later, when I ended a bad relationship in that same city, it just took one to reach out and befriend me. Moses was just one. Solomon was just one. Paul was just one. Joseph was just one. You can only worship one. You can only serve one. You can only profess one. You can only truly love one. You can only glorify one. You can't serve two. You can only serve one. And Jesus is the one. Years after college, my best friend admitted that she had been the victim of violence. She kept that secret from everyone for almost a decade. It just took one to shatter her innocence and to shatter her life for 10 years. It just took one. A week ago, last Saturday, in this very folder, I kept it because I wanted to show it to you. I gave a speech in a juvenile detention center. Two girls who were 14 to 20 years of age. In there, their lives were upside down. Some were already mothers. One said to me that she was 17 and she had been in foster care since the age of 8. I have an 8-year-old, and I cried when I thought of what it would take for something to happen so horrific that the state would take him from me, would take him from my husband. It just takes one. Some of the girls, I could look on their faces, and you've seen these faces, were hardened, hopeless. They felt worthless. I could see the anger. I could see the frustration on their faces. In their lives, it just took one. One to abuse them. One to help them begin their healing. It just takes one. What you've learned here is meant to equip you. It's meant to ready you to make the right decisions. It's not meant to put you in a position that you can make lots and lots of money. What you've learned here is not meant to put you in a position that you will someday, one day, be famous. What you've learned here is not meant for you and you alone. What you've learned here is meant to put you in the position that when the time comes and you must choose right or left or stay still, that you choose the right path, that you make the right decision. What you've learned here is meant to make you the one that will be able, as the scripture tells us, to give an account, to give a reason for the hope that you have. Those girls that I met last week have no hope. So they can't give a reason because they have no hope. But it's just taking one to start their healing so that now they have some hope. And ultimately, and yes, I'm in a city-run facility, a government-run facility, and I said the word Jesus. I said it, and I'm not ashamed of it, and I told them I'm getting ready to shock you because I'm going to say something to you that you may not hear, that Jesus is waiting on you, that he loves you, that God created you. These are things that in all of their abuse and the drunkenness they've seen and the violence they've seen, my sister-in-law is a third-grade teacher. And when she taught in St. Louis Public Schools, 75% of her class, third grade, 75% of her class has seen someone stabbed, beaten, shot, kicked, jailed, arrested. Third grade. Do you think that what you've learned here at Berean is meant just for you? When there are babies out there suffering, it just takes one. You're the one. You're the one that's going to say to them, God loves you. And oh, by the way, let me volunteer to read to you. Jesus died for you. And oh, by the way, let me donate my pizza money to buy you a new book that you've never had because it just took one to molest you. God loves you. And oh, by the way, let me take my spring break and go to Appalachia and help build a home. It just takes one. You're the one. The suffering, when you hear 77,000 are dead in a cyclone, when you hear that 15,000 are dead in an earthquake in central China, it's overwhelming. When you hear that in all of the United States, 30% don't even get the cap and gown. 30% destined to make poverty wages for the rest of their lives. When you hear that, you might be overwhelmed. But it just took one to give his life. It just took one. Your education is not about you. Your education is about them. Your education is about those who have no idea, who are so angry that they would just as soon rob you than say good afternoon. Your education is about them. It's about the least of these. That's what your education is about. It just takes one. And I want you to know that just because you have an incredible blessing, like a Christian education, that it doesn't mean trouble won't come. The word tells us, think it not strange. Think it not strange. So when something happens to you, when your professor gives you a C and you know it should have been a B, and I want you to prepare yourself to be professional and to sit down in that class and bring your paperwork with you and to say, Dr. So-and-so or whomever, I believe that there really should be a B. I've looked at my work and I think you'll agree with me. You write these words down when you get home and use them. Feel free to copyright, just plagiarize from me all day long. Use them. Your demeanor, your words, your tone, because you're a child of God. You are not going to insult, yell, scream, threaten. You don't have to do that because it just took one. You don't have to do that. You don't have to lie, cheat, or steal. You do not have to do that because you're a child of God. So when you say, I believe, once you look at this, once you examine what I'm showing you, that you'll see that I really deserve a B. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. Because just because you're a Christian doesn't mean the trouble won't come. One last thing. You're supposed to be the one. You're supposed to be the one. Believe it or not, you are supposed to be the one that 2 years from now we hear created a charity at your campus to go outside your campus and help the children in the neighborhood of your campus. We expect to hear that 5 years from now, that in the case of Mr. Doctor, future doctor here, which one of you is the doctor? Don't do this. Which one of you is the doctor? Come on, hello. Which one of you is the doctor? Is there a doctor in the house? You're the one who is going to take those trips. You're the one who's going to work with Angel's Arms. You're the one who's going to take those trips. We expect to hear that, do we not? We expect to hear, because you are the one with the blessings of a Christian education. You're the one. It's just so simple to me that you are the one, that each of you, despite the overwhelming odds, despite the overwhelming tragedies, the overwhelming bitterness and anger and depravity in this country that we love so much, that we truly love, this is our country. You're the one who's supposed to mend her at the seams. You're the one who's supposed to look at her and say, I see the pain, and I am going to step up. You're the one in every situation. When the guys are talking about the girl and they're saying that, oh, yeah, last night and she this, and you're the one who's supposed to say, no, man, that's not how we treat women. You're the one when you see and hear disgusting, negative, nasty comments and behavior. You're the one who's supposed to say, excuse me, and inject yourself and your faith into the situation. Now, I want to warn you. I did that. It was a young lady at Walmart. She was on the phone. I had my sons in the cart. There were children all in the aisle. And she was dropping the F word. And I saw my sons look at me. They looked at me. Now, I was intending to do something anyway, but if I hadn't been, those looks would have said, well, Mommy, what? You talk to us all the time. You say, God, I prayed for you. You know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You talk a good game, Mommy, Daddy. These are our children. You talk a good game, but what are you going to do? So I said, young lady, please don't talk that way. Actually, I think I said, young lady, stop talking that way. I did. I didn't say please. I want to be truthful in the house of the Lord. I didn't say please. She proceeded to curse me. I have never been cursed out like that. Never in my life have I been cursed out like that. It was amazing. And everybody in the aisle just stops. Who do you think? I mean, she just went off on me. She even talked about my shoes. I couldn't believe it. At that point, I just started laughing. But you know what? Ladies, I never wore those shoes again. I have to tell you that I put them away. I felt so bad. I love those shoes. But they really were just, I should have put them away. She was right. And so 5 minutes later, again, you're the one in every situation, but I'm telling you what may happen in the situation. But you're the one. You're still the one, regardless of what may happen. You're still the one. And so I'm rolling through Walmart, and I just walked away. And my son, my oldest son, said to me, this was a year ago, he said to me, Mommy, those are the kind of people we see in those drug films. I thought, well, what drug films are you seeing? And secondly, what drug films are you seeing? And I said, well, that may be true, and I don't know if drugs have anything to do with it, but you know that we talk about the words you use, and they're important. And that's why it is important. You may have friends, and when you get a little older, who are talking like that, and you have to tell them that we don't talk like that. You've got to be the one. Now, he was 11 at the time. I'm telling him, you got to be the one. When you see that and hear that, you've got to be the one to say, no, we don't talk like that. She cursed me out. I felt convicted. because there was a part of me that felt a little smug. And you may feel a little smug because you have a Christian education. And I learned about the Lord when I was in the 11th and 12th grade. And you may feel a little smug when you come across other people who did not have a Christian education. And I honestly felt a little smug that day. And God convicted me right away. And I was hoping, well, what am I going to do, Lord? Walmart's a huge, it's a super center. Well, I'm not going to see her. And I turn a corner, and there she is. And I thought, God, sometimes you work things out way too fast for me. I am not, this girl already talked about my shoes. What is she going to do now? I don't know. And the amazing thing was, because I was silently praying, Lord, forgive me for feeling what I felt, for feeling smug. I felt like I was the one. I felt like I was the one. I'm going to tell her. I felt like I was the one. All these people are watching, and I'm putting on a show. I felt like I was the one. And yes, I should have done what I did, but I had the wrong spirit because I felt like I was the one. And when I saw her, she just walked up to me with her head down. She was all of like, she said she was 24. I still don't believe it, but she put her arms out and she walked over to me and she laid her head on my chest. She laid her head on my chest and I hugged her and I apologized. I said, I should not have spoken to you like that. But you know that you were wrong. You should not speak like that at all. You're a beautiful young lady. And it's not pleasing to the Lord to talk like that at all. And she said, I know. I just don't like people telling me what to do. And I said, you know what, sweetheart? We all must deal with order. We all must deal with order, and we all must be respectful. There's always somebody who tells you what to do. Always. Always, always. So please get over that right now. You got a boss. He tells you what to do. Get over it. Because you really kind of like that check coming in, so get over that. But the point is, I thought I was the one, and I was the one, but I approached it so incorrectly that she cursed me out. But I prayed for forgiveness right then and there, and I had a chance to reconcile with her. I had a chance. So even though I'm telling you you're the one, don't you think I'm the one. You think you're the one and you're humble because God chose you. So be humble. But ladies and gentlemen, there's no doubt in our minds. It only takes one. Jesus was that one. It only takes one. And you, with your Christian education, your knowledge of Scripture, you've hidden the word in your heart that you might not sin against him. You truly, truly are the one. And it only takes one. May God bless you. May he order your steps. May the angels forever protect you. May there always be, from this night forward, a hedge of protection around you. May you glorify him in everything you say and everything you do. Congratulations, and God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Carol. We appreciate that. We appreciate everything that you had to say this evening. Well, we've come to that time in our program, the time that you've been waiting so long for, the time that you worked so hard to get to, where we would like to present your diplomas. So, graduates, if I could have you stand, please. For our presentation of diplomas. Presenting the diplomas tonight will be the director of our school, Pastor White, as well as the chairman of the school board, Larry Ensweiler. And Mrs. Daniel, if you would like to congratulate the graduates as well, we would sure appreciate that. Amy Lynn Doctor. Daniel Edward Ensweiler. Brent Thomas Hager. Anne Marie Schaefer. Antoine Devon Nathaniel Washington. Joshua Jeremiah White. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the class of 2008 of Berean Christian School.
We'd like to offer to you now the benediction. Benediction means the good word. We'd like to give to you a good word tonight. So let's all look together in a word of prayer for a benediction. All right. Father, we are so grateful to be here tonight. Thank you so much for all that you have done for us. You're a great and awesome God who created us. You're the great and awesome God who created all things around us. You are the one. You and you alone. And you are the one who deserves our praise and our glory and our honor. We glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and thank you for these children who have now become adults, Father, for you gave them to us. And we loan them to you just as Hannah did to Samuel. We thank you so much for the way you're going to use them. We ask in the name of Jesus that you would use their lives as beacons in the middle of the darkness. That you use them wherever they go as salt. That you'll grant that they might be the one. And I want to thank you for what you're going to do. I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you'll grant their heads might think solid thoughts. That you might preserve them to think always those thoughts that are pure, holy, true, lovely, and of good report. Give them eyes, Father, to see clearly where they ought to go. And to look always unto Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith. Grant that they might have ears to hear the word of God. They might always hear the voice of God speaking to them. That in the middle of all the clamor that goes around about them, the voice of God might be clear to them. Grant to them, Father, a heart that loves God fully and completely and the neighbor as themselves. Grant that they might have mouths to openly speak the word of God and to declare the truth to be the one that we give you praise for. Grant that they might have legs that are true and firm and solid, always ready to stand where they need to stand. And grant that they might have feet, always ready with the gospel of peace. We ask that you would use these for your glory and your honor. And to this end, we're going to thank you and praise you as we thank you for the families you've given to them and for the life that's before them. For truly this is a commencement for them. Use them for your glory and honor, in whose name we pray and thank you, even the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the one who was and is and is ever shall be. even the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Carol, thank you so much for being the one for us tonight. We appreciate it. You were the one for us. Thank you. We appreciate that.